How long ago were you in Gander?
It was 2005, and that was the 20th anniversary of the crash.
One of that area's newspapers, the St. John's Telegram, wrote that the crash left a scar on the heart of Gander that will never fully be healed. Outside of the monuments and the memorials, what was your experience of that in Gander?
Well, one of the reasons, the main reason that I went to Gander was for many years, a New Era reporter, and quite often it was me, went to the Hopkinsville Memorial on the anniversary of the crash to cover a memorial service. And it's important, I think, that Hopkinsville continues to do that. But after a number of years, I felt like we had covered all of the angles and reached all of the understanding that we could about Hopkinsville's place in that tragedy. And so I began to wonder what it was like in Gander. And Gander has one of those sort of, it's got a mystique, I think, you know, like, can you get there from here sort of thing. So I just sat down one afternoon and wrote up a proposal and checked airline prices and literally had it approved before the day was out to go to Gander. And I went, I'm going to say approximately a month before the actual anniversary. So what I learned is that for the people of Gander, there's this overwhelming sense of not being able to help anyone that day. And I didn't understand that until I went there. And by that, I mean, when the plane came down, they immediately knew what to do, because Gander actually exists because of an airport, and they train for these things. And when the plane went down, actually just a couple of miles down the road from the community's hospital, they literally had not just ambulance crews, but doctors at the crash scene within minutes. And they kept searching for someone to help, and there was no one. There was no one survived. And I think that's the scar for Gander.
What kind of stories did the people there tell you?
Well, I wrote a three-day series for the Kentucky New Era that ran in December of 2005. And each day we had at least two stories, a couple of columns, and some photographs. And, you know, I met people like Eileen Elms, who in 2005 had been living in Gander for 65 years. And she was actually the one person who had lived in Gander longer than anyone else. She came there as a child when Gander was being carved out of a forest to create the airport. And so she told me stories about Gander's connection to aviation and how important that was, and also to World War II. And then I met people like a photographer for the local paper, which is called The Beacon, who really had a hard time telling me what he saw that no one else could see the day he walked through the forest after the crash. And it was still painful to him. I interviewed a nurse who went there, and she told me about nightmares that she had sometime after the crash. And so Gander, still mourns for all of the soldiers at Fort Campbell.
Well, as you've covered the memorials here in this region, what have regional people told you about the crash and its aftermath?
A lot of it is connected to the newspaper, to the Kentucky New Era. I actually started working for the New Era the month after the crash happened. So I became a full-time employee here in January of 1986, although I had interned here before. And there are still people here who were working at the paper when that happened, and they talk about the reporters who came from, you know, all over the country and some from overseas to Hopkinsville to cover this story. Mary D. Ferguson, who is still a columnist for the Kentucky New Era, she was here. Taylor Hayes, who's our publisher, he had just started working for the newspaper at that time. So the first thing that people talk about is how the world came to Hopkinsville and Fort Campbell because of the tragedy. of course, President Reagan came for a service at Fort Campbell with Mrs. Reagan in the days right after the crash. And there are many people who live in the community who still have a connection to someone who died. There's a member of our editorial staff today, Melissa Mollahan Larimore, whose grandfather died in the crash. And it occurred about 2 months before Melissa was born, and I believe her grandfather was carrying a gift for her that day.
Well, not only did Gander step up after this tragedy, they also hosted more than 6,600 passengers and air crew after North American air traffic was grounded after 9/11.
9/11, yeah. Yeah.
What is it? I mean, they really opened their doors, their homes, their businesses. What is it about these people that seems to make them so incredibly generous? I mean, is it something in the water?
I've thought about that a lot. They were so good to me when I was there. I think a lot of it has to do with the airport and the reason that Gander exists. The airport at Gander, as I said, was carved out of a wilderness in the years before, shortly before World War II broke out. It was a way to make transatlantic flight feasible because at that time, you know, a plane couldn't make it all the way across without refueling. They needed a place to refuel, and that's why Gander was created. So today, people still call Gander a lifeboat, I think, in the Atlantic. It's the place where if things go bad, that's where people can go. And it can be anything from 9/11, or it could be somebody today who has a medical emergency and they need to land quickly. So they're very civic-minded in that way.
Hmm.
I read a book about Gander on 9/11 to prepare for my trip when I went in 2005, and it really helped me understand the people there, and everybody had a story about taking in someone to live in their home for days after 9/11.
Hmm. Well, it's been 27 years since the crash of Flight 1285, and I imagine there are quite a few members of the 101st Airborne Air Assault that weren't even alive when it happened.
Yes.
Have you had the opportunity to speak to them, and do you have any sense of how it resonates with them?
You know, I'm not sure that I can say that I've talked to anybody specifically about that, that, you know, you weren't living when this happened. It does sort of, it helps you sort of mark your age, your place in time, that you're old enough to remember that.
It seems to me sometimes, I've been to New York since 2001, and it's astounding to me that you can go to where the towers once stood, and somehow, even when it was a big hole in the ground, people had managed to kind of move past it. It's almost as if they had managed to file it somewhere and go about their daily lives.
Mm-hmm. You know, what you're describing is helps explain why I went to Gander in 2005. I want to be really careful that I don't misstate this, but the reason I wanted to go is because it began to feel too much like a routine every year to go to the Hopkinsville Memorial Service. I could sort of expect what people were going to say, and I'm not saying that they aren't sincere, and I do think it's wonderful that Hopkinsville continues to have this memorial service. I think it says a lot about Hopkinsville's connection to Fort Campbell and our connection to the people who live at Fort Campbell. But for me, I needed to understand something else, and it just hit me that, you know, well, I wonder what it's like for Gander, because we haven't really had an opportunity to look at that.
Were you surprised at all by what you found in Gander?
Well, the thing that I came away with was their regret, this really deep regret that they couldn't do anything that day. And I don't think I would have understood that if I had not gone. I just heard it over and over again from people. Well, I went to a church service one day when I was in Gander, and when the service was over, somebody that I was with started introducing me to some people, and there was a point at which I was literally had my back against a wall, and I had a notebook, and people just came up to me and just poured out these stories. They wanted to tell me what they were doing that day, and and what it was like. And there was one woman who told me about working at the hospital, and she said she stayed at the hospital, and when people started coming back, there was a doctor who had been in a coverall to keep warm when she went to the crash site, and it was covered in ash and soot and, you know, just being out in the wilderness where something had burned. And the doctor was so overcome by the experience, she took off the coverall and handed it to this woman and said, please throw this away. I don't ever want to see it again. And those, they just told me stories like that over and over. Gander is a lot like Hopkinsville, Kentucky. At the crash site, which is called the Silent Witness, there are statues that were created by a Hopkinsville artist. His name was Steve Shields. He's died since then. He has a statue of a soldier and two children. And his wife still lives in Hopkinsville, and she's told me the story about them actually driving all the way to Gander with the statues.
It's an elite division, the 101st. It has built up almost this store of legendary names, Normandy, Bastogne. Is Gander part of that?
I think it is, yeah. You know, with the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan in the past 10 years, that's really taken a lot of the focus for the 101st Airborne Division, but Gander will always be part of their history.
Jennifer Brown is opinion editor for the Kentucky New Era in Hopkinsville. Thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.